Congratulations!
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast, with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
Okay, here's the deal. Look here now, Maysoon.
Looky here now.
People don't have to say yes to every little bone someone's throwing their way.
That is for damn sure.
Yep. You have power. You have worth and yes. value. And look here now, Maysoon. Wage has a new thing they're doing.
Oh.
Did you hear about this?
No. I haven't gotten an email.
Wagency. It's cool. Kind of like the other end. So Wage, working artist for the greater economy based out of New York, they have had their certification program where nonprofit art institutions can get certified by Wage and agree that they're going to fucking pay
artists
on a certain pay schedule based on their total operating budget.
That's right.
Now, with Wagency, artists can sign up to become wagents.
Whoa.
And basically, you get a fucking
They're
number.
Nerds. I love it. Okay.
And you pay $5 a month to be a wagent.
Tell me more.
You Sorry. Look pretty.
When I see the membership fee, I'm like, what are
okay,
they doing
there's a
for
membership
you?
Fee. Well, okay. So Wagency facilitates a transaction and fair remuneration of artist labor in the nonprofit sector. It supplies artists with digital tools and the necessary collective agency to negotiate wage fees. That's, you know,
yeah.
the fees that you can get on there and they have a wage calculator that'll tell you, like, how much should you
how
get for a solo show, for a performance, for a talk,
mm-hmm.
for all the shit artists do for places. So it'll help. You negotiate wage fees or withhold content from art institutions when they decline to pay.
Ooh, I like that.
According to wage standards. Instead of a coordinated strike mechanism, Wagency enables a matrix of individual boycotts that can and will happen at any given time. Follow a simple five-step process to increase your bargaining power with institutions and build collective strength together with other artists. Okay, you can read all this stuff at wageforwork.com.
So what happens if you then, as a wagent, are you pledging to make that money?
You're basically pledging not to work for less than wage standards.
Okay, so what happens if you do?
So, okay, so one of the things you get when you sign up for it is you get this little thing you can put on your website that says, like, I'm a certified wagent. And it has a little thing with a circle. And if you do this and you send in to Wage and you're like, I got paid, I got what I was supposed to, they give you a little check mark.
Oh,
and you can lose.
So you
it.
Want to report back every time you have a show or some opportunity.
Yeah, I'm not a really great representative.
It's super interesting,
but I really think everybody should go check it out.
I feel like a more recent experience an artist friend of ours had was definitely like they're also pretty into wage, was definitely not wagent, but maybe this will encourage her to get there to be more like to be more of an advocate for themselves when they are.
Yes,
because
you feel like you're in a group. You feel like you have somebody
oh, yeah.
who's holding you accountable to not do these things. Because we all feel it.
Yeah.
I never talk to an artist that says like, oh, yeah, we should work for less than we should.
No way.
We should work for free. You know, we should just give our shit to whoever, you know, or yeah. like exposure is so great.
Yeah.
You know, like none of us are saying that, but we're all doing it. Like yeah. we're all selling ourselves short. So to feel like you have somebody holding you accountable is really important. And so you get that little check mark. If you in the future, you can lose it again.
Right.
Like it's always contingent on if you're really fighting.
But it's also contingent on you reporting your.
Yeah. Which I'm not exactly sure how that works.
Kind of a lot of additional work. And I think, I mean, it seems more of an experiment, right, than like a. I feel like the wage certified for institutions is something that institutions, if they care, which many of the ones in the Bay Area do, are can actively work towards, which is super exciting. And also, like, you know, SF MoMA's open space becoming wage, one of the early wage certified groups was interesting to see that within a larger institution that's clearly not wage certified.
No.
You know?
Yeah, totally.
But I almost have a slight problem with that because it's sort of like, I think it's great that open space is wage certified, but I also feel like it almost like gives the museum more props, you know?
Yeah.
And
they shouldn't.
I'm not blaming open space for that, but it's just sort of like, I feel like the goal would really be to get MoMA wage certified, period.
I've also heard critique.
What about their workers? Like, how do we get how does wage?
Well, they have a union, right?
They do. That's right. Great.
That's the thing. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, not we're done. But yeah, you're right. You're right. I was forgetting about
that's
that.
That's the thing. Yeah, that's the hard part of wages. That like, how do you really organize artists? A lot of the negotiation is always individual. You don't have.
But I think this is a good first step. I mean, maybe this is like depending on. Do we have any sense of how many people have joined? It sounds like it's
brand
new.
There's a whole list, but Christine Wong Yap is on it.
Of course.
Shout out. And I don't know. I've also heard critique that wage like is maybe too focused on artists that are in the system. Like if you're having a lot of shows at like museums or places with a budget.
Right.
Maybe you're kind of pretty privileged as an artist.
Well, but artists working in any other capacity should probably be getting paid as well, don't you think?
Oh, for sure.
Regardless of if they're in an arts institution or like they're being hired by some company to paint a mural on their wall or, you know, it could be any number of like levels.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah.
Do they even have mural? Do they have mural wages on there?
I think that would maybe be a commission.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm just open to criticism.
I ran into a friend of the show at the Leanie Geyer exhibition at Wattis.
How long is that show up for?
That the Leanie Geyer show, which is called Form in the Realm of, is that right? Form in the Realm of, is on view through December 15th. So next weekend, everyone, if you're listening to this today on Friday, you have this weekend and all next week to get out there. I highly recommend it. It's a lovely show. You know how Wattis has the every year they're sort of focusing on a particular artist?
Oh, yeah, and they're doing Dodi Bellamy.
This year they're focused on Dodi Bellamy. And so I always am terrible about getting out to some of those events that they've produced for these artists or around these artists' work. And so I went to an event on August 7th.
August?
Nope, not that. I went to an event on November 30th. That was called Kathy Acker and Mackenzie Wark's I'm Very Into You. And it was, okay, so I'm new to Kathy Acker's work, so that's just me. I'm sure there's listeners who are like very familiar, and that's cool. But I was new, and the person I ran into at the exhibition was like, you've got to stay for this. It's so good. It's a performance. You'd be super into it. I was like, you know what? Great. I'm just going to fucking stay for this. I thought about going, but then I was like, maybe I won't. Stayed for it. Basically, it was a reenactment of an email correspondence Kathy Acker was having with this person, Mackenzie Wark, who I believe was based, like she met this person in Australia and they had a love affair, like a hot and bothered kind of moment together. And so it was this crazy, like she came back to New York, like Mackenzie stayed in Australia, and they had this like really intense email back and forth that was just about their sort of like experience together and their experience with relationships and queerness and all of these interesting topics, you know, that are very relevant today. And the emails were from the early 90s or mid 90s, but it was just such a fantastic. So basically there were like six performers, two performers would come up to two mics on stage and it, you know, reenact the two responses to an email over and over again. And there, it was just like, I don't know. I think I really like reenactments, or I'm not sure what it is, but it was,
yeah,
it was so charming. It was hysterical. There was moments of like, you know, really kind of deep and intellectual thinking about relationships. And there were moments like a very light and kind of funny and silly. It was a really beautiful, amazing piece. And then there were also, so within the performers reenacting, there were also moments where one single performer would come out and stand in front of a video camera that you could then see projected on the wall.
Okay, live feed.
Live feed. Yep. And they would tell a story about one of their first sort of like love encounters, whether it was queer or
that
not.
That was like improvised?
That was a story that was a personal story of their own.
Oh,
so
wow.
They pulled out of their performance character and into their own real life. And so it was just this really beautiful. It was great. I wish I could describe it better. I feel like I'm not doing it the best job, but that's okay. It's called I'm Very Into You, and it's a book. So these emails were published as a book called I'm Very Into You. So you could probably check it out or see that maybe some of the email correspondence is online.
Why is there, so we're looking at the program here from the Wattis, and why is there a domino on the back?
This is the fourth event in our year-long season dedicated to the questions posed by the work of Dodi Bellamy. The domino has four dots on it.
Okay.
I don't know why it's a domino.
Mm-hmm.
But I imagine the fifth event will have five dots on the domino.
When are they just going to have a straight up murder mystery dinner theater?
I know. What is? Can you please do that? That would be
an
so great.
Escape room.
Let me see if I can find like a nice sentence here for you really quick. Kathy and Ken, so the two people in the emails, are embodied by a local and diverse cast of queer, feminist, and non-binary performers as points across a wide gender spectrum. In addition to reading email correspondence, the performers respond with their own true personal stories of gender slippage, online intimacy, and queer desire.
Cool.
That's more clear.
Man, I'm bummed I missed it.
It was so good. I'm so glad I stayed for it. I was just like, this is exactly what I needed to see. And it actually totally, I really want to like become more familiar with Kathy Acker's work. It was just really, really interesting.
Maybe we should just do that from now on.
Just become more
just
familiar.
Just have our show about Kathy Acker. I just do want to note that one of the performers' bio says, Silkworm is an artist, drag queen, and Sagittarius living in San Francisco. Do you think I should put my sign more prominently in my bios and so forth?
I think it could help you, actually.
But do people want to work with a Virgo?
Yes.
No, they don't.
Why? You're great to work with.
Maybe if
with
they
you.
Need somebody to, like, clean.
I was just going to say clean the house.
Yeah.
No. So that was great. I'm going to tell you now. Oh, actually, you know what? There's another event around Dodi Bellamy coming up that also looked good. I want to say, oh, the Mike Kuchar evening, film evening, is on December 18th at 6:30. It is free. It will be at Wattis. I would suggest going if you're not familiar with the Kuchar brothers. They are legendary. Come on over to this event with us.
Yep, we'll go to that event and then come on over to the SFAI library and watch every damn movie they got.
That sounds fun. Anyhow, I'm really into this Dodi Bellamy series of events now. So that's all I have to say about that.
Okay, great.
Can't wait to go to all of them.
Thank you, Wattis. Shout out to the
Shout
Wattis.
Shout out to Wattis. Good work. Love you guys.
Okay, what else we got?
It's all sorts of, we're in this weird, funky, like, holiday season, exploratorium.
Oh, what's the Expo doing?
No, I don't know. I'm just saying we're
Head
in, like...
Head over to the Expo. They got holiday fun for the whole family. Let's dip into the email. I haven't looked at our fucking email since 1928. Okay, Cap Street's got a thing coming up with Paul Schimmel. They got to talk December 11th, Tuesday. Doors open at 7. Program starts at 7:30. You know Paul Schimmel? He's a curator and a dude based in L.A. He was the chief curator of the Museum of Contemporary Art in Los Angeles from 1990 till 2012. Did you know that, Mason?
I didn't. I did not know that.
And from 2013 to 2017, he was the vice president and partner with the art gallery Hauser Wirth and co-founder of Hauser Wirth and Schimmel in Los Angeles.
Hey. I want to say that this weekend, are you done with that? Can I pop onto something else?
Yeah.
I want to say that this weekend, the lab is hosting legendary musician, jazz extraordinaire, improvisational jazz guy, Roscoe Mitchell.
Oh, great.
Who is a longtime teacher at Mills in the music department and is retiring. If you haven't had a chance to see Roscoe perform live, I would say you should really go to this. He is a true legend and is incredible, and I've actually loved him since I was in high school because he was part of the Art Ensemble, which is a really avant-garde jazz ensemble that was based out of Chicago when I was a kid.
I went to the last painting salon, which I don't know if it's the last ever painting salon.
Well, I know Sarah was looking for someone to take over
because
at one
Sarah's
point.
Leaving the Bay Area. Don't die.
And by Sarah, we are talking about Sarah Tebow.
And goddamn, that was one of my favorite painting salons I've been to with Craig Calderwood.
I'm so bummed I missed that one.
You've really fucked up big
time. I fucked up. It was Craig and Stephanie, yeah?
Yep. Stephanie Rolfs, whose name I said wrong. I'm about 900%.
I always say Rolfs.
I said Roffles.
That's
okay,
great.
Okay, I'm very sorry, Stephanie. But Stephanie's talk was just fantastic. All this stuff about... you know, animal enrichment devices and things that they give to animals that are in captivity to like enrich
like
their
in
lives.
Zoos or in like domestic animals like our cats and dogs in our
all
homes?
All kinds. Birds.
Is this
kinds.
Like when you feel like your animals are kind of like depressed and you give them like some sort of pheromone thing? Is it that kind of? What's well no, you
no,
said device.
Devices. Like can you, things I want you example. Put in a bird cage. Like they have special little perches that they sit on or different like mirrors to look in and things like that.
Mm.
Or like there's all really
wow,
should have come to this talk mate
that
soon because you
could
and all of them are so sculptural, you know, but they're not ever really meant for a person to look at. They're meant for
birds.
Yeah. And she had this whole thing about ontology and like the ways that like objects and animals like have their own kind of point of view. And like once you start to understand and believe that, it really changes your own perspective that like decenters human perception.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, dude.
That's fucking cool.
And all the different kinds of cakes they make out of ice for sea otters.
All different kinds of cakes they make out of ice for sea otters.
Yeah.
Cakes? What kind of cakes?
Like birthday cakes or St. Patrick's Day cakes. But they're made out of ice. They're not cake. Because I heard at the Monterey Bay Aquarium.
Otters like cake? Cakes of ice?
Listen, girl.
Help me out here.
I heard at the Monterey Bay Aquarium that ice, freshwater ice, is sweet to sea otters because they're used to salt water.
Aww.
So they give them a lot of different, like, for just for fun, for a treat, they just give them ice, like freshwater ice from, a, like, tap water. Are you going to cry?
It's just really sweet to think of a sea otter playing with an ice cube. It's
and
making
not
me
just
feel
that,
really
but,
happy.
Like, they give them Christmas shapes with, like, a Christmas tree, and they put food dye in so it's green. Yeah, if you go to the Monterey Bay Aquarium, they give them that stuff all the time. Please don't cry, Mason. It's beautiful.
It's really sweet.
Yeah,
it's,
I loved
it. It's so considerate. It's just amazing.
Yeah, and I loved the talks. So Stephanie gave a great talk. Craig Calderwood gave an incredible talk.
I really wish I had gone. I'm like such a huge fan of Craig's, and their show at the Luggage Store was incredible.
Yes.
Just incredible. I would have loved it.
I mean, one of the best shows of the fucking year, in my opinion.
So. I definitely
we
think
got
so.
Some great artists out here in the Bay
Fuck
Area.
Yeah.
Okay. Point is.
Point is go see Roscoe Mitchell.
That was go see Roscoe Mitchell.
At the Lab this weekend, people.
Okay, this Saturday at 7 p.m. at the Pacific Felt Factory, which is at 2830 20th Street, right by Southern Exposure, the Growlery, in conjunction with the Pacific Felt Factory, presents Elise Stepanian, Memory of the Universe, a night of screenings and artist talk by Elise Stepanian. We'll discuss her ongoing series of 3D animations and hybrid collaborative performances of the Memory of the Universe series. Okay, there's going to be mother... What the fuck, dude?
Oh,
half woman, half cow creatures.
I don't understand.
Half woman, half cow.
That's your thing.
Well, it's all of our things, Maysoon. It's in the collective unconscious.
No. That's your thing, Kate.
Okay, but I'm very excited about this and I have to go to it. Oh, shout out to Keisha for sending us that.
Yeah.
Okay, Margaret Tedesco sent us the thing. Not at the Dinner Table returns for 2018. Jeff and Gordon invite you to leave an anonymous voicemail addressed to a personal friend, relative, or associate about a public issue you disagree on, saying what you usually stop yourself from saying in order
this.
To keep the peace.
I know.
Okay?
I wish our podcast could be that.
Oh, people can do that. Give us a call. 419-351-6606. Okay, but you really got to call these guys, okay? You also can listen to a regularly updated selection of the voicemail messages that have been received since the project began. Okay, this year the number to call is 478-575-5655. Okay?
Got it.
And that is a Georgia number. You can call anytime from now through January 1st.
What do you think you would complain about? Or what do you think you would talk about?
I have nothing but complaints. I could leave 100 of these fucking voicemails.
It'd be a great way to like deal with certain professional relationships you have that you, what that one has that you can't really just be like, listen, motherfucker, you're being a goddamn selfish son of a bitch.
Exactly.
Oh my god,
there's so few times in life where you can really
you can
unload
actually just like
in the way that you
out.
Want.
Yeah, totally.
Maysoon, what if I'm post-exhibition now?
Sorry, what?
What if I'm now a post-exhibition artist where I don't have exhibitions?
Okay. What do you do?
I'll put things out in other ways, like online and books and like posters, but not where there's like organized here, everybody meet here at this time kind of thing.
I think it just depends on what you want out of your art experience, your art making experience.
I want not to have to do openings anymore.
Okay. Do you want to get paid?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. No, just asking. I think unfortunately we're still in a situation where artists get paid for openings. Like, are you going to get paid to put your work on YouTube? Are you going to get paid to?
I would love for you to. If I have a monetized account.
So then we just need to like bolster the number of people looking at your videos on YouTube in order for you to get paid more.
Yeah, or I just get like Peggy Guggenheim to come back from the dead.
Or you just write grants.
Or I could get grants.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could motherfucking sell books.
But you make such good objects as well as video.
No.
And paintings.
No, I don't. I'm at a crossroads in my career. If anybody wants to give us a call, 419.
Are you really?
35. I live at the crossroads.
With Satan.
Meet me at the crossroads so I don't get lonely. 419-351-6606. You can tweet us at Pine Tree Podcast or you can email us congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. We apologize to anyone who's emailed us and we haven't responded.
We're a little slow on the intake.
Things have been busy, but we're here.
We're
really coming to our full form.
We're going to say this until we're 70.
in 2019. We're coming up May soon. February is going to be our 200th episode. We got to do a big thing.
So we were just talking about Galleria de la Raza. I just checked everyone's profile on Facebook and there haven't been any updates. And so I don't know if they're officially out of their current space, but what I know was the plan from a few weeks ago was that ultimately the city and different nonprofit agencies are working with Galleria to get them into a stable place, like a permanent gallery for a period of time. But that's kind of like in a 1 and 2 year period down the line. So, you know, they're not going away forever, but they might have to go dark for a little bit while they're getting ready for this new space and like one of the new developments that's in the neighborhood or in San Francisco.
In the Mission?
Ideally in the Mission, but definitely in San Francisco, obviously.
That sucks.
I know.
What's going to happen, May, soon? Are they going to make robots that have the dexterity of a human hand?
Don't they already have that?
No.
Is that one of the hardest things?
I just heard a radio show about it where like when they're doing a lot of automation in like warehouses and stuff where the robots will move like, you know, shelves and things around kind of, but then they have to kind of present them to a human being to actually pick up the items off the shelf.
Oh.
Because they do it way more efficiently than
robots with their like cold metal. Like,
yeah. To be able to just see like, okay, I just need to grab two of these and three of these.
Yeah. Yeah. I have been thinking a lot about what happens when all the laundromats disappear.
Why are they going to disappear?
Because they're closing in my neighborhood. A lot of the local laundromats have closed down.
Why? Where are people doing their fucking laundry?
I don't fucking know.
Do they not wear clothes anymore? Because they're all in their onesies?
Because they've all been pushed out. And buildings are being resold and remodeled.
Washer and dryer in unit.
Yes.
Okay, I see.
Either that or they're all taking their clothes to get washed by someone.
Okay. There's probably an app.
There is a fucking app.
There's a fucking app? What's it called? Like Sudsy. Sudser.
I have no idea, but I just saw that two laundromats on Mission Street right by me have closed. Both of them were like used all the time. And then I just noticed that one that was huge on Valencia Street that was also used all the time is closed.
Yeah.
Emptied out.
Yeah.
There's another one down Valencia Street by Mission a couple years ago closed. So right now for us, we have two laundromats left, like within like a reasonable walking distance. And it just dawned on me the other day. I was like, wow, what's going to happen when all of our laundromats close? Because that's definitely the direction they're going in, because landlords can make way more money off of any other business in the fucking laundromat. Like, that's a lot of like energy. It's a lot of upkeep. It's so many things. They're making like coins, you know?
Yeah.
But that kind of bummed me out because I was sort of like, that might be the moment we actually have to leave.
Oh, man.
We don't know where to do a lot of laundry. You know? Isn't that weird? Isn't that a weird kind of like predicament?
Okay, Maysoon, I think we have to end on a high note. Give people a little hope, a little good spirit to go into the holidays. I had some excellent latkes the other night.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Where?
My friend of the show, Poppers the Pony, invited us over.
There's a hell of a lot of like holiday parties. We got Root Division has their Misfit Magic Toy Factory situation. When is that one? That is coming up. 8th annual Misfit Maker Factory and Creative Marketplace is on Saturday. This Saturday, everyone, from 4 to 8, pop by, support some local artists and local arts organizations, and get some gifts for your people. There's all sorts of stuff going on about the holidays, which sometimes I like and sometimes I don't. How are you with the holidays, Kate? Is this like a hard time for you? Is this a fun time for you?
I don't have any bad associations really with it.
Okay.
Especially being in the Bay Area where there's no snow, it really doesn't bring up any of my wintertime bad memories.
Yeah.
So, I like the holidays. What I really love is, number one, latkes. Somehow, every winter, somebody invites me to come over and have latkes.
I can't wait. I love it.
And it is like my favorite thing.
Tell me, your latke party that you went to, how many people were there? And were the latkes being made fresh on the spot?
Yes. And okay. Five people.
See, now I've been trying to convince Jimbo. I was like, let's have a big party this holiday season.
And
we'll make latkes because I have like really good homemade applesauce ready to roll.
Oh,
I'm like,
yes.
Ready to roll.
Yep.
With multiple jars on the table done.
Oh, my God.
And Jimbo's like, he's like, that sounds great. And so I've been like, hey, we're going to have a latke party, people. And he's like, Maysoon, we can't have a latke party. It's so much work and they have to be fresh and you can't make like a huge bucket of latkes. I'm like, come on. So all I want to do is eat latkes too right now.
Yes.
Just FYI. We're going to a Hanukkah party with our family on the weekend and I'm going to just be on the latkes.
Yep.
I don't care about anything else.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's the number one. I also super love Christmas in the Park in San Jose.
What's that?
It's phenomenal. It is like Christmas down there. There's a fucking ice skating rink with like fucking palm trees around it. Lights on the palm trees. There are Christmas trees that are each decorated by different community groups down there in San Jose, including like the local high school or like the Aikido people and like, you know, whoever that can sponsor a tree and they decorate it however they want. So there's like weird, funny decorated trees.
I love that idea.
There is a bizarre assortment of animatronic creatures and characters on like weird little train cars all on display. Like full size, including like Santa's elves and like weird polar bear guys and like whatever weird shit like that. And they're all like going doing their thing. There's a hot cocoa that they've got down there because they have a little booth. It's like a carnival kind of.
Yeah.
But it's all
like
the
fest.
Time.
It's a Christmas festival.
All the time. And there's a hot cocoa you can get. Okay, before you go.
Kate is so excited right now.
I gotta tell you, it is maybe $7 or $8. Okay, for a fucking hot cocoa. But listen. Okay, I knew you were gonna react this way.
How big is that hot cocoa?
First off, it's very big. Second off,
it's pure chocolate.
It's fucking insane chocolate. Okay, is the chocolate that great? I don't know, but there's fucking whipped cream, I think marshmallows and whipped cream. And sprinkles, okay? Jimmy's there. And I think chocolate and rainbow, or maybe just red and green. Anyhow, that's on there. Some kind of sugar glitter. I don't know.
You're just like sugar crazed. It sounds amazing.
A fucking candy cane and a little plastic snowman. All on this thing.
I kind of just want the whipped cream and the Jimmy's and the snowman.
Okay, with no hot cocoa? You probably could get them to make that for you.
If I could get like a shot of hot cocoa and all whipped cream, I would be set.
Hey,
set.
That's what they got. And get out there. I know there's other stuff that I'm forgetting, but the hot cocoa really is the focal point.
I love it. And if San Jose is too far, although it shouldn't be, because this sounds like quite a dream wonderland, Christmas wonderland down there. Civic Center Plaza just today had their tree lighting ceremony, and they'd have their, I think the ice skating rink is finally open. So if you want to go ice skating in San Francisco outside, you can go do that at Civic Center Plaza. They've got a Christmas tree. They probably have some music. Today, Santa was there. All sorts of things are going on down there.
Okay, I also got to say one more thing about it, Maysoon. A couple weeks ago, I was in Europe.
You were in Ireland.
Yep.
Yep.
And I popped over, and I loved it.
Oh, you weren't just in Ireland. Sorry.
I don't give a fuck.
That's okay. I love Europe, too. And I don't give a fuck.
Okay, then. And point is, I went over to my friend Rob lives in Basel, and I went to the fucking Kunsthal, their contemporary museum. And fucking Hedo Sterl and fucking Martha Rosler had a two-person show that took up the whole
Did
museum.
Did you love it? Were you so excited?
It was one of the best. I think it's in my top five best shows I've ever been to in my life.
I want
to
go.
It was so good. Shout out to my friend Rob. I'm moving, guys. We got to
go. Rob.
I'm going. I'm going to move to Ireland. I'll become a citizen of the EU. And then I can just do organic farming.
Yeah, right.
Travel around and do organic farming. You don't think I can handle
Europe
a pitchfork?
Europe is fucking expensive, just
You
by
don't think
the way.
I can handle a fucking pitchfork, Maysoon?
Not for farming. Maybe for some other
Switzerland
sorcery.
Is crazy expensive. But Ireland's not too bad. I just got to say, Hedo Sterl, or in the German, Sterl.
I don't know what I'm saying. How to do that.
But
someone today asked me how to say Goethe.
Goethe.
Someone asked me how to say it, and I was, because they were like, I don't know how to say this word.
Because it looks like goeth.
Goeth. Goeth thee.
Yeah. Hedo is like probably also in my top five artists.
You love her.
I think she's like.
She's pretty rad. I've seen a number of her pieces out in museums, but not a ton.
She's bringing it on every level.
Awesome. There's lots to do out there, everyone. So many shows to go see. Pop on over to SoMarts. There's a new show there just opened this week called Reorienting the Imaginaries. There's some fantastic work in this show. Shout out to fucking Kathy Liu.
Oh, hell yeah.
She has a wall of ceramics that are fucking stunning. Amazing. I'd like to shout out to Jamil Helu, who also has an incredible photographic installation. Beautiful work. Really interesting work in the show. I'd say go check it out.
And at SF Camera Work, you got Orestes Gonzalez and Zulfikar Ali Bhutto. I am to see to it that I do not lose you is up until January 5th. And that's going to be an excellent show. So there's lots of shows to go to. If the holidays are a rough time for you, take a little break from reality. And
go to shows.
Go to some shows.
Go to some shows.
Go to some screenings. Get gay with it. Get gay with it.
Oh my God.
You know.
I did not say that.
If people are, if
but
you
I
have
love
the
it.
Proclivity.
Proclivity.
I'm leaving that in.
Woo!
Yeah. All right. That's what's up. Okay. So high five each other from the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been Congratulations Pine Tree.